Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. Fairest of 10,000s, make me a reflection of your light.
I tell you, that's a beautiful song. I love it. Let your light shine down on me. It's dark out there. Folks, do you know it's dark out there? Are you aware of what we are dealing with? Well, there's no way to escape it. There's no way to escape it. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue today. Hey, we've got an exciting subject. Now, it's only exciting if you are a Christian. If you belong to the world, if you belong to sin, if you've not been born again, it's enough to scare you out of your wits. But the theme of this program is, very careful, don't forget it, war against Jesus Christ is on. War against Jesus Christ is on. Now, it had to happen. Bible prophecy demands that during the 7 year of the Great Tribulation, there is a false Christ. We've heard his name many times, Antichrist. Antichrist. Everybody, I guess, has heard that term, Antichrist. Well, there's going to be an Antichrist. That's a false Christ. Now, for the false Christ to become a big factor over the whole world, somehow Jesus Christ has got to be lowered and put down and defaced and defamed and destroyed. Jesus Christ has to come to a conclusion as far as the world is concerned, as far as the New World Order is concerned, as far as the mindset of politicians all over the world, and the educators, and the economists, and even the religious figures in many churches. Jesus Christ must be replaced. Do you understand? That's Bible prophecy. Jesus Christ must be replaced. So, the war for that to happen, it has begun. The war for that to happen is on. I'm sorry. The war for that to happen is on. I saw a poster myself with my eyes the other day, the hands of a man out on the streets protesting, and it said, if Jesus returns, kill him again. If Jesus returns, kill him again. Now, when I saw that sign, every light in my mind went off. Every thought in my heart began to tick up. And I began to realize prophecy is closer to its beginning. Bible prophecy, end time prophecy, has never been so on target. Right on time. Right at the right hour. Right at the maximum hour. And my dear friend, don't you doubt that the war against Jesus Christ is on. You know enough without me telling you anything. You probably saw the big debate all week about the governor of California saying no more singing in the churches. No more chanting, I think he used that word too. Chanting and singing in the church. Oh, that's been a big war this week. I haven't seen the latter end of it, how it's moving along, but I know any church that would obey it has stepped beyond just being respectful for government, and they've become rebellious against God. You just don't let that happen. You just don't let that happen. Now, we did close down for our services and went out in the parking lot and had wonderful church and good crowds. We're back in the sanctuary. We're keeping the distancing rules. We've marked off every other pew. We don't pass an offering plate. We let people walk down to the altar. We have a place as you come in the door to sanitize your hands. I sanitize this building so thoroughly. There's no way a germ can live in that place when I get through before every service. And we've made our church very, very safe. Very, very safe. You can come right here, wash your hands as you come in the door by sanitizing them. Come right in and sit down at a distance from anybody else. You and your family can sit together. And we promise you, you're going to be safe. I'm telling you right now, you're going to be safe. It's a lot safer to come here than to go to Walmart. It's a lot safer to come here than to go to your grocery store. Can I say that again? It's a lot safer to come here than to go to the grocery store. It's a lot safer to come here than to go to Walmart. I'm almost ready to go out front and put up a new sign saying Walmart Church. Walmart Church, a grocery store church. Oh, come on, listen to me, friend. You can come to Paul Creek and you'll hear the wonderful gospel in a very safe atmosphere. We had a great camp meeting. I mean, we had wonderful crowds. We really did. Everybody that wanted to could wear a mask. You can wear a mask tomorrow. From the time you get out of your car to you go back, or in your car if you want to. I see a lot of people doing that. They tell me they do it out on the middle of the lake when a man's fishing by himself. He's wearing a mask. Well, you know, it's a new day, and I'm not going to fuss about it. I'm not going to argue about it. I'm just going to have church, and I'm going to do it safe, and I'm going to do it right. I'm going to obey every rule I can obey and have the worship in the house of God and invite you. But today, we're talking about the war on Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to get your Bible, because we're going to go to a prophetic text in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms. Nobody said more about Christ than David. The whole 22nd chapter is a picture of prophetic things about the life of Christ. The psalmist David was marvelous. I call the psalmist David sometime the Old Testament gospel. The Old Testament gospel. Well, you're not ever going to forget chapter 2 if you'll study it with me today. You're going to remember it the rest of your life. And I want you to. I really do. And I want you to get right with God. I'm telling you, I want you to get right with God. I'm right here. I'll be here till Jesus decides to take me out or take me up. It don't matter with me whether he takes me out or takes me up. Either way, I'm going up. Hallelujah. Because I belong to him with all my heart. Now, let's go to that great book of Psalms. And let's go to Psalms Division 2. And I can't read more than two or three verses without you knowing this is talking about Jesus Christ. I mean, there's just no way around it. It is just that, it is that very, very positive and powerful and Christ-centered. Really is. Now, why, listen now, you got to hear every word because it's breathtaking. Why do the heathens rage? Oh, did you hear that? I don't need to go any further. Why do the heathens rage? Why do the heathens rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Now, you got to understand this is speaking of right now. This is as prophetic, present right now in fulfillment as it can be anywhere in the Bible. It's like reading the newspaper of an honest reporter that looks at everything from a biblical viewpoint, from a spiritual perspective, and describes it. And here it is. It starts off so powerful. Why do the heathens rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. I've heard so much vain stuff the last days. I don't listen to the news very little. I just enough to keep up with a few things, but no more. I can handle it. It is that negative. It makes me creepy. It makes me feel creepy. I went to Trader Joe yesterday. Never enjoyed shopping in no place in my life as I have Trader Joe. But I felt nothing but gloom when I walked out of that place. Nothing but gloom. First time in my life I wore a mask to go to Trader Joe yesterday. That's why I like my milk, because it's better, stronger milk. There's several things there I like to buy. The price is good. And so I went yesterday, and I wore my mask. And I told them it's the first time in my life I've ever worn a mask. I don't wear them to mow the yard. I don't wear them to use Clorox to clean my house. I just don't wear a mask. I can't stand them. They completely discombobulate me. You know what that word discombobulate? I'm not sure it's a good one, but that's how I feel. And so I don't do it. But yesterday I did it because I didn't want to look rebellious. I'm not a rebellious man. I'm not a man who has not been humbled and broken. I don't ever want to be anything less than a contrite man, a broken and contrite person. And God has certainly made that out of me, and I give him the glory because he had to do it. I'm a Chambers, and we Chamberses, I hope my sisters are listening. We Chamberses, we got bullheads. We're Italians at background, and so we had bullheads. I still have them, but I've been taking mine to the altar and saying, Jesus, sanctify it. Sanctify Jesus and clean it up. Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a strange thing? Now listen, the kings of the earth, you got to hear this. Now the kings of the earth set themselves. Now listen carefully. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Against the Lord. Now hear that. The rulers of the earth and the counselors take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. And against his anointed. Now you got to hear that. Saying. Listen, it says, here's what they're saying. Saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Never has there been a day when the cords of the Bible are more hated. Never been a day when the great, great commandments of the Bible were more hated. And they call them here and cast away their cords. They see Bible commandments as bondages, as cords, as something that keeps them from doing what they want to do and living like they want to live. I mean, it's powerful stuff. I mean, you can't doubt it, can you? That's what they say. Take away, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Oh, that overwhelms me. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. I'm telling you, if God isn't already laughing, he'll begin shortly. I think he probably already is laughing at the foolishness, at the just unthinking, the stupidity, if I might use that word. I mean, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Now, I want you to understand me when I'm saying what I'm saying. I'm not going to attack nobody. I'm not going to name nobody. I was took off the air on Tuesday night this week because I said a word that wasn't acceptable. One of our preacher's sermon was taken off last Monday night because he said some things that wasn't acceptable. That's only two times it's happened to me in our work, but I suspect it will happen more and more, and so I'm going to be very careful. I'd rather preach you the truth and be careful. Not say some of the very strong things that I'm always in with a tendency to say, but you got to hear this. Now, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He may not be laughing yet, but he'll be laughing shortly. I promise you, God is going to laugh at this stupidity, at this fight against his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can no more be defeated than a man can reach up with natural hands and pull that sun out of its orbit. That's just how impossible it is to reduce and to destroy the mighty name of Jesus, the mighty person of Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord. He took a little ragged country boy that couldn't even spell, high school dropout, and made a man of God out of me and called me to preach and to love this Bible. He's a great God, and he shall have them in derision. He shall laugh at them. The day will come when he shall, he said it, I didn't say it, he said it, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. That's the actual words now. I'm reading from the Bible. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. God's going to speak to this crowd. God's going to speak to those who are determined to put the church out of business. God's going to speak to those who are determined to reduce the church in Cable World. We've reduced ourselves mightily, if you want to know the truth. But God's going to stop all of that, whether within the church or out of the church, above the church, or in some level of government. God will have the last word. Father God, my Father God, my Lord Jesus, my blessed Redeemer, and his great Holy Spirit, they will have the last word. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. God is unhappy. God is unhappy with so much that's going on right now in our world. And God will have the final words. God will have the final words. Now listen to what he says. Go on. We're going to read this whole chapter, because this chapter is a prophetic picture of today. This very day, this is a prophetic picture of exactly what God is saying and what God sees and what is going on. It's prophetic to the core, and it's breathtaking. It's wonderful. I tell you something I said this week, and I'm telling you, I really believe the devil is right now. He is so furious. It is unbelievable. He's so furious because he sees things that's going to happen that's going to give him a hard time. He sees things that's going to stop his new world order before he wants it. He wants it to go, see, before the rapture. He wants it to go right now. That's what he's working on. But he can't. The restrainer is still here. The restrainer is still here. I'm a pre-trib man. I can prove it easily that the pre-trib rapture is absolutely, absolutely biblical, right on. And I'm telling you that the devil is furious. He is furious. And the reason he's fighting so hard and doing so many things. But can I tell you something about the devil? He always makes a fool out of himself. Every time the devil has ever done anything, he overdoes it. He overplays his hand. He overacts his ugliness. He overstates his viciousness. He goes beyond even common sense, because he doesn't really have common sense. He lost that when he was thrown out of heaven, when he rebelled against God. And so he in his ignorance, he does some of the dumbest things. And right now he's going overboard. He's going beyond any common sense. And it will turn turn on him, because God is in charge and God will have the last word. And I hope you get encouraged by that. It encouraged me so much a few days ago when God spoke to me and told me the devil was furious because things he was trying wasn't working like he wanted them to work. He wasn't really, really defeating everything that he's trying to defeat, and he's furious. And so that means he'll overstate, he'll overact, he'll overmove, and he will be defeated. And God's will be done. Oh, I'm excited about that. God's will be done. And I wish the ungodly would hear me and would turn around. I wish those who are on this other side with destroying the Lord Jesus Christ and fighting against him, warring against him, and warring against anything decent in his church. He's only going to reprove us. He's only going to make ashamed of our mess. He's only going to make the church world begin to turn around and go back, because a latter rain of the Holy Ghost is coming, friend. A latter rain of Pentecost has been guaranteed by the prophetic truths of the Bible, and it has to happen. It cannot fail. I'm here to tell you, it can no more fail, again, as I said a while ago, that a human hand can reach up there and get the sun and pull it out of its orbit. It cannot happen. I'm a man of this book, and I know this book will be proven every time over and over. So you understand, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Now listen, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Listen to that. God is talking through the word and saying, yet have I set my king. My king, that's the Lord Jesus. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art, have I set my king upon my holy hill, upon my holy hill of Zion. Where's Zion? That's heavenly Jerusalem. Where's Jesus? At the Father's right hand, upon the holy hill of Zion. Right there. That's the proof of his ascension and his glorification, when the Father exalted him above every name and gave him a name that no man can fail to bow to and bend to and repent to. I'm telling you, there it is. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. God has set his king, his own son, his only begotten son, and he set him upon his holy hill of Zion. But that isn't complete yet, because there's a holy hill of Zion up there, but there's a holy hill of Zion in the Middle East too, and that's called Jerusalem. And he will set him upon that hill and make him the king of this universe, and he will reign 1,000 years literally on this earth, and the bride of Christ will reign with him. Friend, this is Bible prophecy. It cannot fail. And I love that when I see a double prophecy in verse 6. Yet have I set my holy hill upon my hill, my holy, I've set my son, I'm sorry, upon my holy hill of Zion. I've set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. Both spiritually in the past 2,000 years ago, and now prophetically in the future, when he comes back to reign on this earth 1,000 years. So there is a prophecy there with a double fulfillment. You can't doubt it. I mean, there's nothing else it can be talking about. There's no other interpretation you can give it. You have to throw chapter 2 away if you don't accept it like I'm giving it to you, because it is just that plain. It says, I will declare the decree, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. See, you got the whole picture here of God's son being begotten of him, born of the Virgin Mary. You got him being exalted at the end of his death and crucifixion and resurrection. Now you got a prophetic promise of him coming back when all the kings of the earth are determined to destroy him again. That man who wrote that poster and said, if he returns, kill him again. He doesn't know how much prophecy there was in the undercurrent undercurrent of that poster. I know the poster wasn't right, but the undercurrent of it, the emotion of it, had a prophetic ring. And I heard that the moment I saw it. I saw it because I knew it was indeed a prophetic statement. My friends, we are living in a prophetic hour that rings with excitement and joy. It rings with a certainty of something yet ahead of us, right down the road. A few more years of death and sorrow and heartbreak. A few more years of the devil doing his dark, damaging, devilish things. But then the end comes, and I'm patting my feet as fast as I can because I'm so stinking excited. Hallelujah. Because I love prophecy. I've lived in it. God has given me understanding of it beyond my worth. I don't deserve a bit of it. I don't deserve a bit of it. I was thankful for Tim LaHaye before he passed on that he wrote in one of his books, if you want the final word of prophecy, you always go find Brother Chambers. That was so kind of him. And I'm not worthy of none of that praise. It all belongs to God. And if a man will accept it, God will give him truth. And God will pour the word into him. Let me read on. This is good. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Listen to this now. Listen to this. You know it hadn't been fulfilled when you hear me read it. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathens for thine inheritance. Ask of me, Jesus, God said. Ask of me, Jesus, my son, my king, my Lord, and I shall give thee the heathens for thine inheritance. Well, you know it's never happened. You know, it's not what happens spiritually to a decree, to a degree, but the kingdom doesn't come on earth, earthly. It comes spiritually in heaven. The Bible says that over and over. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This prophecy is breathtaking. It's overwhelming. Ask of me, he says of Jesus, and I will give thee the heathens for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Now, let me show you. I will give thee not just the heathen. Many were saved. Many heathens came to Christ. And so it was a partial fulfillment in the great ministry of Paul and Peter and that early church. But not a possession of the earth. Only the people being converted. But here it goes further and adds to it the possession of the earth. Let me read that again. You got to hear it. Thus thou shalt ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And, notice now this in the Bible, verse 8, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Jesus is going to possess this whole universe, this whole earth. It's going to be turned into the kingdom of God, living kingdom of God right here on this earth. It's called a 1,000-year millennial reign. Do you, most of the church don't even believe in the millennial reign? No, most of the church don't believe in the millennial reign. They believe that's us. We're going to reign till we take things over. Well, we're sure doing a mess with it. We sure ain't took nothing over. The church has gone down, down, down. So those who are into post-millennialism, you need to wake up and get out of that dark doctrine. I'm telling you, it's a dark doctrine. It's from the devil. It's his lie. It's what he wants to do. But it will not happen. He will give that to Jesus Christ when he returns at the end of the seven-year tribulation, riding a white stallion, coming back to northern Israel. Hallelujah. The Valley of Megiddo. Oh, the Valley of Megiddo. He will come back riding a white horse, and his garment will be dipped in his own blood that he dipped in at the altar of heaven, in the heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly Zion. Oh, church, this is all biblical, and it's so beautiful, and we're living right in the fulfillment of it. Do you know that you are one blessed person to live in this hour? You say, Brother Chambers, is hell out there. I know, but hell's going to turn to heaven, friend. Hell always turns to heaven when people trust God and serve the Lord God. And we've got so much to be excited about. And here I bring you this kind of prophecy to encourage you so that you get back in your Bible, get back in the book of Revelation, get back in the scripture, quit living so distant from God, throw away those strange Bibles that the translators have perpetrated to change our theological positions of fundamentalism and to make a bunch of liberals out of us. And I'm not one they can make a liberal out of. I'm telling you, I was cut out of the right kind of cloth, and I belong to Jesus and nothing else. And this Bible is my little confidence, my absolute word, and I believe every book of it. And I got to read on, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Going to be a worldwide kingdom, friend, from the sea to the sea, from the north to the south. And he's going to set up a kingdom on earth. And the Bible says in that world, righteousness will flood the earth just like the waters cover the sea. Did you hear that? Righteousness will flood the earth just like the waters cover the sea. Now, let me read on. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Friend, I'm telling you, I know I'm not going to get past this one set of scriptures maybe, and that's okay, because here is a prophetic picture that fits the hour precisely. And if you want to call, I'll take a call. The lines are fixed for you to call if you want to ask a question. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to talk with you. This Bible is so real. I mean, every word of this Bible is yea and amen. People who doubt the Bible just don't know that they're doubting a truth that cannot be questioned. It is true from one end to the other. Jesus is the Word in Genesis 1. He's the bridegroom in Genesis, the first book. He's the bridegroom in Revelation, the 66th book. And all between the first and the 66th, there's 64 books. And he's the Lord of all of them. He reigns in every one, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, which is, which was, which is to come. He was alive. He was then dead, but he's now resurrected. Directed and he's ascended to heaven and he's coming in the skies and we're going to see him. We're going to see him. I want to get to that in a little bit, because during them 7 years of the great tribulation, I'm working on a sermon. I've really just got started, and the sermon is going to be entitled, if I can remember the name like I had it, the Sea of Glass. I got you. The Sea of Glass. You'll find it in Revelation 4. The Sea of Glass. I'm going to preach that shortly. The Sea of Glass. Can you imagine what's going to happen in that Sea of Glass? It's going to be the great location of the bridal event, the bridal supper, the great supper of the Lamb, the great. Oh, what a day that's going! I wouldn't miss that for the world. You're playing around with your spiritual life, living careless. You've left your first love. You've lost that sweet Holy Ghost anointing, and you're kind of struggling around in a worldly attitude and lifestyle. I beg of you, it's time to turn around. It's time to turn back to the risen Christ and get on fire again. Get on fire again. It's absolutely imperative that you get on fire again. Now listen, he says, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces as like a potter's vessel. Well, you know that's never happened. That's never happened. The Lord saved a multitude of people, and the kingdom of God grew, touched pretty much all the world, and then it began to die and lose its fervor. And there's been these upticks in the church through the years, and then a downtick, an uptick and a downtick. And we've been in a downtick for about 40. I was saved 68 years ago when there was a revival going on, and 30 and 40 would get saved in a revival. But that day passed, and now it's a dark church hour, but the revival fire is coming. I'm as sure of that. I don't have a word of doubt. There's nothing about it that can fail. The revival fire is coming, and what a day is going to be. But I got to read on. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Listen, be wise. Listen to me. I'm talking now to President Trump. I'm talking to the man running against him, Joe Biden. I'm talking to all the members of the Congress. I'm talking to the members of the House of Representatives. I'm talking to every governor in America. I'm talking to the kings of the nations of the world, the elected people, the dictators, whatever they might be. And I'm telling every one of you, you better understand that to let Jesus be put down in your midst is an absolute dangerous, blasphemous thing to allow, and everybody involved in it will be judged accordingly, and they will absolutely be put down. I'll read it again. Be wise ye now therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. And rejoice with trembling. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Keep on praying for these eyes. I hate to have to read kind of fumblesome like that, but can't help it. Nothing do about it. You know, I'm waiting on the Lord's miracle, and I will read. You know what I'm doing? I'm memorizing scriptures one after the other. So whatever happens to these eyes, or whatever the enemy does with the Bible, I will still have the Bible written in the minds of this old man's heart. Hallelujah. So I can keep quoting the Bible, telling you the Bible. Now, one more verse. Kiss the Son. Oh, adore Jesus, I love you. Why don't you reach your hand up and put a spiritual kiss on him? Put a word kiss on him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how committed you are to Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords. Oh, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. You on the air? May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Sir, I was wondering about the what this psalm said concerning what is the status of the new temple in Jerusalem. Is that the last prophecy?
This is a prophecy right before the rapture. We know the rapture is right before us. We don't know when. I believe a revival is coming, a Holy Ghost Pentecostal revival. I believe that precedes the rapture, or at least occurs during the time of the rapture. It may happen more after the rapture than before. It may happen. It may not happen none before the rapture, but I perceive in my mind that it probably will. And then there'll be a 7-year tribulation period once that rapture takes place, and then Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom on the earth. And that's why the Bible says God's going to give him the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession. He's going to rule the whole earth. It's called a millennial kingdom, and Jesus will be the king of the whole earth for 1,000 years.
Sir, I'm also very shocked at some of the Christian denominations that have turned against Israel.
Well, I understand, and that's one of the saddest things that can happen. Anything that puts Israel down is from the pit of the devil. Israel has a prophetic future. They will not be saved until Jesus returns at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. And Jesus will go to Jerusalem, personally to Jerusalem. He will stand upon the great mount where he ascended. He will go over to the temple. There's a gate in the eastern side of the temple that's been closed up for hundreds of years. It is being preserved to open, and Jesus is going to march in that gate. And at some point at this day, all Israel will turn to Jesus Christ. Remember the question they say, where did you get these wounds in your hands? And he's going to say to them, I got them in the house of my friends. And that they will know then that this is, they won't know he's the Christ that they crucified until he comes there at the end of the 7 years.
Sir, do you think there will be a peace agreement in the near future?
I think the peace agreement will happen, probably. I don't know exactly know how. It may be right after the rapture. I would perceive it being more during the 7 years than before the 7 years. See, the rapture's got to happen. We're waiting, right? See, the reason the devil's trying to put Jesus out of business, and he can't. Because the restrainer is still here. The Holy Spirit is still in the church world. I'm full of the Holy Spirit sitting here. I wouldn't be able to say and understand this great second chapter of Psalms if the Holy Spirit hadn't given me the revelation. See, the word mystery in the Bible means that which can be known only by revelation. the reason people go into these, the preachers go into these universities and schools to learn how to preach is because all they got is human knowledge and human wisdom. They don't have no spiritual wisdom or Holy Ghost wisdom, and so their preaching is just a bunch of hooey. You understand that?
Yes, sir, exactly, because some of the churches will no longer get their pastors from their seminaries.
Oh, they, well, and say that again. I think you said they won't get them from the seminary?
Right, they will not get.
Well, I don't blame them. I wouldn't hire a man from the seminary for nothing. You try to hire, I've tried to hire men who've just been to Bible colleges, and they just don't have it together. And they won't pray. They won't fast and pray with you. I mean, we've been fasting and praying for 2 years here like never before. I've always fasted and prayed. But I've been doing it double time for 2 years. 2 hours, 3 hours a day on my face, loving every minute of it. I don't pray as some kind of great sacrifice. I pray as something I'm in love with. Because I'm in love with Him. I remember this morning, I'd been praying a couple of hours, and I looked up to heaven and said, God, I cannot tell you how wonderful it is to be in this sanctuary, in your presence, and your Holy Spirit moving over me like a river. It's the grandest thing in the world, my brother.
Sir, I thank you, and God bless you and your ministry.
Do you like what I've read from Psalms 2?
Yes, sir.
You'd never seen that before, had you?
No, I haven't.
I wish every preacher in the world would preach on Psalms 2 tomorrow with the right interpretation of it, just like I've just laid it out, and it's very plain. I mean, it's not some great revelation to me. It's just simple what the book says, and it fits everything that's happening right now.
No, you're the only pastor that I can find that preaches about Revelation.
Well, you're right. They don't understand it. And they think that they're not really supposed to understand it. What I think is they're just too lazy to dig it out. You got to get on your face to learn the book of Revelation. God's got to help you. You can't get it from some professor in some seminary that's already compromised and changed Bibles and going after all these many different translations. The King James Bible is not perfect because it's called the King James Bible. It's perfect for one reason. It came from the original text, the original Textus Receptus and Masoretic Hebrew. Those are the two texts it came from. The Greek text called and I can't say it again. And then the Masoretic is the Hebrew. The text of the King James and the text of the Masoretic Hebrew, the Textus Receptus, I got it back there. You can buy them in the bookstore. Most bookstores don't have them anymore, but we can get them for you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my friend. Been a joy to talk to you. Praise the Lord. I hope others will call. Now, that was good. That was enjoyable. That probably helped all of you because a question can sometimes help you that gets a good answer. And I'm telling you, the Bible is plain. We're living right on the verge of the glorious rapture. Two things that is going to happen in our very near future. And one is the sovereign move of the Holy Spirit. A Pentecost just like the book of Acts, maybe even greater. Just like the book of Acts, chapter 2 and 3 and 4 and all those big chapters, it's coming again. I'm looking for it any moment. I hope I have that anointing of it tomorrow. I don't know that I will because it hasn't started yet. But any moment now, it's about to start. And I'm going to be in the middle of it. I know that. God's already told me that. And I'm going to stay here long enough to see it. I don't know how long after it starts I'll be here, but I'm going to be here long enough to see it. I've had so many people trying to get rid of me and get me out of... You know, we had a camp meeting week before last, and did you know not one preacher in the whole Charlotte, Gastonia area came to even one night except one preacher who came one morning because he lacked the man who was speaking that morning? And I presume he would not have come otherwise. I don't know that. I'm not putting words in his mouth. But I'm telling you, friend, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when you're in the middle of what God is doing. There is nothing like what God is doing. There's nothing like what God is doing. And I am so grateful. And I'm sorry for that moment. I know the camera went out. My hand hit the mouse. And you know, I'm sorry for that. But I'm telling you, friend, Jesus is coming at any moment. Are you aware? Are you ready? Are you living prepared for that blessed moment? Oh, what a day it's going to be. Oh, what a day. Hey, anybody else want to call, grab the phone, 704-391-0588. As you see, I got it working good. I'm proud of that. And I'd love to answer questions all about prophecy. Now, let me go back and read those last two or three verses. They are so wonderful. Be wise, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Rejoice with him. Kiss the Son, lest he be weary. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. I'm sorry, and ye perish from the way. Kiss the Son, lest you perish from the way. I had you glorifying Jesus, didn't I? Telling him you love him. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Son of God. I love you, Redeemer, my Lord. You are my everything. You are my everything. You are my everything, Lord. I tell you, I love him. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's wonderful to me. He's beautiful. Oh, I want to sing to him. Oh, wonderful Savior. Oh, blessed him. I've been with Jesus, and I'm so happy. I feel him in my soul. With love he bought me. With blood he washed me. He redeemed and made me whole. Oh, blessed Jesus, don't you love him? Don't you love him? Don't you love him? That's what he says. Kiss him, love him. He's talking about loving on him, showing him how much you care, how much you are his, how much you belong to him, how wonderful his graces are. Oh, my friend. Oh, my friend. Let's go to Hebrews 1. That I was going to go somewhere else, but I believe I ought to go to Hebrews 1 and take you for a moment and show you what Paul said about this Christ. You know, Paul saw him outside the walls of Damascus. Remember that? As one born out of due time. You remember that beautiful story of Apostle Paul's conversion? Well, he wrote about him. One of the most beautiful things about him in the whole New Testament. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Listen. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed, and whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Oh, listen to that. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir. Notice that means he inherits all things. Every bit of this world, every bit of the kingdom coming, that great city of New Jerusalem, it's all the glorious inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be married to him. He's the bridegroom, and the saints of God will be the bride, the dedicated saints of God, a company of the saints, not all of them, but a company of them that's sold out to him. Oh, what a day. What a day. So he said, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the words of his power, hath in these last days purged us from our sins, and now he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Where is Jesus? Right now. He's sitting at the Father's right hand. Up there in Zion, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. Wonderful is the mighty Lord, and Jesus is seated at his right hand. Jesus is seated at his right hand, and hath made him to sit down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The Father's called the majestic one, the majesty, and Jesus is the Son. He's the great Lord of the church. He's the bridegroom soon to be. Oh, everything about him is wonderful. Everything about him being made so much better than the angels, that he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I like that. Being made so much better than the angels. How did he become better than the angels? The way he suffered to birth our salvation. The way he suffered to bring us into this redeemed state that we now have. To make us his sons and his daughters, loving him and serving him for all eternity. Are you grateful that you're a child of the King? Are you grateful that you're a child of the King, that you belong to Him? Hallelujah. For unto the angels saith He, for unto the angels hath He not said at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Oh, I'm sorry, my eyes give me such a struggle in reading these great truths, but they'll be healed. I'm claiming that in the name of the Lord. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Oh, you got to read Hebrews 1 yourself. After the program is over, would you do that? Would you go and read Psalms 2 that I read to you, and then read Hebrews 1? And those two chapters, one in the old and one in the new, are so breathtaking. They give you a picture of just who Jesus is. I preached a sermon just 2 or 3 weeks ago on the mystery of the awesome Christ. And that is on Facebook. If you'll go back a few, 2 or 3 weeks ago, you'll find that sermon. And you ought to listen to it. I've never preached a sermon. And I really did only preached about half of it. The other half is yet to be preached. There's so much about the future. I'm excited about that sea of glass. Never preached on that before. Now, I'm just in the early stages of developing that sermon, the sea of glass. But, I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. There's so much about it that's breathtaking. That's where we're going to meet him when we're raptured up into the heavens. His throne is actually going to be moved out of his present location and moved into the sea of glass area, which will be between here and heaven. And it will take over the place where Satan used to reign. You see, the devil's been the prince of the power of the air. But when that rapture occurs, the old devil will be cast out as the prince of the power of the air and will be cast down to the earth, having but a short time. The Bible says, being angry, because he'll have but a short time. And he already knows that his time is coming up. He already knows he's on his last jig. I mean, he really is. This great thing happening right now all over the world, darkness and evil and destruction. I'm telling you, this virus didn't come from just China. It came from hell through China. It came from hell through China. Are you listening to me? China was just the developing stage, just the place where it took its birth and then swept out over the world. And yes, China has a lot of fault involved. And I wouldn't buy something if I know it's made in China. You wouldn't get me to buy it. You couldn't give it to me. I wouldn't even want it. I'm telling you, that's how I feel. But China's not more guilty probably than most of the rest of the world. They just happen to be a wicked, godless place that hates Christianity, and it becomes the breeding ground for this horrible virus. But it's sweeping over the world because we've aborted babies and children. Did you know, with all the close down of hospitals and the elimination of selective surgery, nothing has stopped abortion? Nothing to stop the killing of little babies. They went right on. I mean, the great politicians, the great governors. Oh, man, aren't they great? They can close down churches, but can't close down the abortion clinics. Can you believe that? That's what happened. I heard the president say that. I heard President Trump say, you've closed down the churches, but you haven't closed down your abortion clinics. Friend, you see, we don't understand just how wicked this crazy world has become and just how we're facing the end times and the great day of the Lord is so near. Hallelujah. If you could just understand how this all ends, you would still be sad and you'd still be gloomy and you still hurt for all the people that's hurting and you still feel the grief of it all. Yes, I do. I'm a human. I love my nation. I love the church world. Oh, I weep over the churches. I weep over the preachers. I weep over ministers that can't stand me because I won't quit. I won't back up. I won't turn it over to some new young dude who wants to do their own little thing. I'm here because I have to be here. I'm here because God told me to be here. I'm doing exactly what the Holy Spirit told me to do. And I am not doing nothing else until he gets through with me. I love it. I love just doing what he wants me to do. Now, I want to spend the rest of this time with questions. I want you to call. Grab your phone right now. Now, I'm stopping for you so that I can listen and hear the phone ring. 704-391-0588. I'm putting this up for you because I want you to see the number. 391-0588. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. It is very important to me that you call. I'd like to talk to you a little bit. I thought I had up there the title of this sermon, War Against Jesus Is On. Jesus Christ. War Against Jesus Christ Is On. Believe me, it's on. Believe me, it's on. Now, you got the top number. That's the number right here in this office. 704-391-0588. Grab your phone quickly. I've got about 10 minutes, and I could take probably 8 or 10 telephone calls, and oh, the people that maybe I could help. Do you understand the pre-trib rapture? There's a lot of people preaching a mid-trib, and a post-trib, and a no-trib. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there. But I'm telling you, the biblical truth is a pre-trib rapture. That is a rapture before 7 years of the great tribulation period. A rapture before 7 years of the great tribulation period. Are you hearing me? You say, prove it to me. I'll be glad to prove it to you. I'll prove it to you beyond all possibility of you doubting if you'll give me a chance. Because I just believe, and I've lived in this book, and I've studied these great truths, and I depend utterly on the Holy Spirit to be my teacher and then to help me teach you. So give us a call. 704-391-0588. Call quickly. I would love to talk with you. It would be my absolute joy. I'm telling you, it would be my absolute joy to talk with you and to share with you and to help you grab this, because it's all so wonderful. It really is. I'm getting ready for a song here at the end, because I want you to get saved. I want the blood to wash you. Washed, saved by the blood. I love that old song, Saved by the Blood. I play it a lot as a closing, because I want to get you on your knees. Have you really come to Christ? Let me take a moment here while I'm waiting on your call. Have you been born again? How many of you sitting out there listening to Brother Chambers right now, and you know beyond all shadow of a doubt that you've been born again? There's no question. There's no doubt. You know beyond any possibility that you have or have not been born again. If you've been born again, I'll tell you something. You know what being born again means? It means you've been washed in the blood. It means the blood has washed you from your sins. The blood has washed you from your sins. When you get born again, you'll live different. When you get born again, you're dressed different. A woman that dresses and exposes her nakedness, and she claims to be a Christian, she cannot be a Christian. It's not possible, because the blood washes you from everything like the world and everything of darkness and sin. And you be miserable, dressing like the world when you really get born again and washed in the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, never has there been a day men and women need to get right with God genuinely. Genuinely, why would you ever trust in something so absent of truth, so absent of reality, so absent of a transformation? I'll never forget. I got saved at 16, and he made an instant new man out of me. I've never wanted to curse since then. I've never wanted to do the things I did, and I was just a kid. But he changed me. He'll change you. He wants to change you. He loves you. Hey, have you ever thought about how much God loves you? Have you ever stopped and just ask yourself, do you really believe, sir? I'm talking to you, sir, and I'm getting you to talk to yourself. Ask yourself, do you really believe that Jesus wants to save you? Yes, I can tell you he does. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. God wants you to have everlasting life. I want you to have everlasting life. It was just this morning I was praying, and I told God, God, I would love to deny that there's an eternal hell. Because I cannot stand the thoughts of multitudes of people in a lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I can hardly stand it. I wish there's some way to find in the Bible that we've been mistaken and that there is no eternal lake of fire. But if you would ever find that, then you would have to say, well, why did Jesus die on the cross of Calvary to save me from my sins if there's no place that hell wants to judge me forever? Why Why would he give his son to die on a cross as miserable and as horrendous as the death of the Lord Jesus was if there is no eternal hell? It don't make any sense not to believe exactly what the Bible says. There is an eternal hell, and if you don't live right and serve God, you know what? If you would ever realize that hell is really real and the lake of fire is really waiting for you, it would scare the hell out of you. I'm at that now. It would scare the hell out of you. What do you mean scare the hell? I'm not using a bad word. I'm telling you, you'd be tired of even doubting, even wondering. You'd run to Calvary. You'd go somewhere and get yourself saved. You'd go somewhere and get your life changed. I'm telling you, you would if you just had some idea of how horrible hell is going to be. I want you to feel it because I want you to turn to Jesus and I want you to be born again. I really do. I really do. Now, let me take you. I wanted to spend more time with Hebrews, but I won't try to do that. I'm just going to go over in the book of Acts chapter 22. Chapter 21. And I, John. This is 21:2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Who's the husband? That's the bridegroom. Who's the bride? The saints of God that sell out for Jesus, that give him everything, that give him the whole of their life, that lay all they are before him and at his feet and humbly give themselves to serve him and to love him. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from every eye. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Write, for these words are true and faithful. Well, I tell you what, this has been a great program for me. I've loved that Psalms chapter 2. I'm wringing wet with sweat sitting here because I put all I got in it. I really do. I want you to turn to Christ with all your heart. I want you to look around at this world in this topsy-turvy condition and understand all of this is finality taking place. The end times taking place. The world had to come to a point that Jesus would be hated and that he would be rejected and that there would be people that literally really would like to kill him if he ever showed up, and he's going to show up. But the beautiful thing about it, he will be beyond killing because he said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. You can't crucify him again because he has a glorified body. Hallelujah. Oh, he is the glorified one, the first fruits, the Bible said, of eternal resurrection. Hallelujah. Oh, there's so much to say. I mean, it comes rushing out of me, and I know I talk you to death on these broadcasts, but it's because I care. It's because I'm yours. It's because I belong to you. Now, I would love to preach to you. Let me tell you what I'm going to preach in the morning. It really got a hold of me sometime yesterday. I'm going to preach tomorrow on the body, the temple of God. The body. The body. God has made this body to be a temple for him. God has made this body for him to have a dwelling place on the earth. God has made this body to be a reflection of his wonderful love. God wants you to know that your body is such a special part, such a special thing. God bless you, my friends. I tell you what, I love you. I have loved bringing you this broadcast. It's been a thrill to my heart, and I knew the Lord poured it in me. I don't preach anything until I know God has given it to me, because I want you to be blessed by my preaching. I was trying to make sure what time it was. I got another. What time have I? Oh, here it comes. A little over a minute. Hey, I do want you so much to be with me in church tomorrow. Now, I'm telling you, you'll be safe. I'm telling you, you will be safe. You can depend on that. You will be saved. I mean, I can't tell you don't have it yourself, but I can tell you, come in these doors, you got to sanitize your hands. You can go in there and sit in a very secure place. There'll be nobody in front of you within 6 feet and nobody behind you within 6 feet. You can find you a good place and sit down. You can slip out when it's time to go. I promise you, we're going to do nothing but preach truth to you. We're going to love you and treat you the kindest we know how to treat you, because we are a church that cares. We are a church that cares. So would you be with us tomorrow? All over this listening audience, many of you churches are not even meeting. I'm hearing that all the time. So many things are happening, but you'll be safe here. I believe that with all my heart. We're praying with all we know how to pray, brother. I mean, we're praying with all we know how to pray, because we want you safe. We want to be a blessing to you, and Jesus is coming. Are you listening to me? Jesus is coming. Listen, you need to be washed in the blood now.
My name is in the book.
Oh, saved by grace.